You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello there, and welcome to the latest Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm your host, Joe Rimmer, joined today by Paul Gorst. How are we, Paul?
Very good, very tired, but yeah. I'm used to that now, I think. Doesn't feel like 12 hours ago, does it, that we were in the office watching watching events over in Bergamo last night, but Ian Doyle was there for us.
Yeah, spoilers there from Paul Gorst, one man that wasn't in the office, he was in Bergamo last night, was Ian Doyle.
Yeah.
Do you like that? That's the good,
That's cultural appropriation and that's incorrect in today's day and age.
Commander Tory. What does that actually mean? That's from the Paulie Walnuts video, Commander Tory.
Do you tell me?
I don't know. Do you tell us, any Italian listeners?
Well, there's none now. They've all turned up,
by the way. Yeah, I'm trying to lean forward into the voice. Well, we're not live on YouTube today. Our producer Ian is off.
Again? So,
yeah, he's off. Yeah, it? Yeah. So,
seriously?
We're here just an audio-only podcast today. So forgive us. We won't have one on Monday either. We'll have an audio podcast, but we won't have a video one because Ian's still off.
He is. By the way, forgive us. That's very... Words of an old friend of ours.
So next video pod will probably be Friday, won't it? Well, from us anyway. There might be others before that. But you'll have to make do with our voices for now.
No one wants to see our
faces.
Sad, forlorn faces, do they?
Not the moment.
Last night.
This is my first podcast in about 2 weeks. And one of the guys in the group said to me, he said, I'm like that gif coming back in, the lad with the pizzas and the house has fallen down, everything's on fire.
Donald Glover and Community.
Yeah. And massively feels like that when I went on my little, well, I didn't go on holiday, but when I went on my time off, the quadruple was on. Well, it wasn't, though, it was after the FA Cup, but the treble was on. Treble's off, but the double's not quite off. But there you go. All we need is the Carabao Cup, really.
Be no double in, though, will there, after last night?
Double, no.
Oh my God. Right. That's absolutely terrible.
Before everyone switches off, let's give a shout out to our sponsor because, they'd like that. Thank you again to NordVPN for sponsoring the pod. Came in handy for Ian Doyle last night or this week, so I've heard.
It did, yes. I wanted to watch the Manchester City game, and we used the VPN of Nord to help us view.
You were in Italy?
I was in Italy, yes, in Bergamo. Very nice place.
Yeah, and as I say, it's like a little bit of security in your pocket when you're travelling, isn't it, Gorsty, when you've been out and about with Nord?
Yes, Nord. It's, it just comes in handy, doesn't it, when you are, like Ian was this week, across the continent. It's come in handy for me when I was in Prague a few weeks ago. Can't recommend it enough in terms of catching up with football games that may not be available in your region without it.
I feel as though Paul's sold it a little bit better than I have there.
Yeah. If you want the best discount on your Nord plan, go to nordvpn.com/bloodred. That's all one word. And our link gives you an extra 4 months free on a 2-year plan. And there's no risk at all with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So we'll get that link in the podcast description box. And thank you, Nord, for sponsoring us. While I've got you, please
I'm
like...
I'm enabling Ian to see Real Madrid beat Man City on
Which I love, by the way. We'll have a quick chat about that. I know Liverpool went out last night, but we'll have a quick chat about the Champions League in a bit. But, while I've got you, like, subscribe, give us a rating if you listen to Apple Pods. Give us some stars. Give us five. Give us four.
I think we're on 4.7.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4%. That's quite good.
Let's try and get towards five. I mean, if you want to give us one or zero, don't. Just don't. Do something else.
Just listen to it. Yeah, you don't have to listen to it. We're not forcing you.
Why are you still here? Yeah. That's how you feel. But yeah, give us a few. Give us a few stars there.
Do we press the bell or is that only videos?
That's only for the videos. Yeah. So, but where you are listening on YouTube, do press the bell. Something else to plug before we crack on.
You two,
that's us. Yeah, you two have written a lovely standalone newspaper for celebrating Klopp's time in charge. So go on, Gorsley, you plug it.
Yeah, so obviously to honour the great man as he walks off, a 64-page special souvenir, isn't it, Dodie, with exclusive print pieces from the experienced Ian and myself. And there's loads in there, you know, comment pieces about his time at Liverpool, best buys, biggest moments, and just generally tried to succinctly and accurately sum up a glorious period that is, you know, sadly coming to an end. But it's one of those that we've had plenty of good feedback so far, and it's one of those, isn't it, that, you know, if you collect these types of things, that this will be right up your alley. So get your hands on it and ensure that you're reading all of our good stuff.
If you want a memento of Jurgen Klopp's near 9 years in charge, you can do not much better than buy our Klopp special.
And you've both been there every step of the way, haven't you? So there's not two better people to write it. So I'll put the link to that in the podcast subscription box. And anything, feedback or thoughts on the pod or anything else, drop us an email, joe.rimmer@reachplc.com. Right, Ian. Liverpool won in Bergamo last night.
They did, and everyone seems to forget that.
But they also lost.
Yes, they did. But now, well, or did they lose?
It was, well...
Won the battle, lost the war.
Yes, won the battle, lost the war. They scored after 7 minutes for a moment there. We thought the comeback was on. But it wasn't a bad first half performance. I don't necessarily think it's as good as I saw a few people making out, but the game just seemed to drift away from them, and they seemed to run out of ideas and perhaps energy.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
They were pretty much exactly that. Thank you for answering the question before I even had a chance. I thought the first half did play quite well, actually. Atalanta, I wonder whether Klopp got into their heads a little bit by saying, oh, it's difficult when you're 3-0 up how to play the game, because I thought, apart from the first two or three minutes, as in literally the first two or three minutes, I thought Liverpool were controlled that first half. And the only time they got into trouble is when they started messing about at the back, because Atalanta didn't really create very much. Alisson didn't have a shot to save before the break. So that told you that. I mean, if Salah scores for 2-0, it's a completely different game. And I think that's the time where you need to be scoring for an away game. A bit different if you're home. We saw that with the game against Barcelona 5 years ago. Second half, they came out strongly. But you're much more likely to do that at home than away, as we saw with Atalanta themselves last night, where at half-time, the manager must have had a few words. Because I think they just decided, hang on, we're actually two goals up here. Let's just sit back and play a few things on the break and not really do much else. And that's what they did. And because they knew Liverpool then had to press forward a bit, they had a couple of shots, didn't they, around about the hour mark. Then after that, nothing happened. Literally nothing happened, because Liverpool ran out of, as you say, ideas, ran out of energy, because the players who'd been on the from the start... I mean, the problem was, the best player on the pitch was Trent, but he was never going to last more than an hour running around. So he's obviously going to get tied. The second best player after him was McAllister, and he's played forever. You know. And the third best player after him was probably Gakpo, who I thought did quite well. But then when they made all the changes, he got shifted from the centre and off to the left. And because they then took Robertson off a bit later on, he ended up becoming left back or something. You know, it was basically just throw everybody on. And it's weird, the more changes they made, the worse they got.
Yeah.
Because they got the team completely wrong, Klopp did, in the first game, paid for it, got it right in the second one. Because I know people were saying, Atalanta game management, this and that. And that was it in the second half. But at the start, I think we saw that Liverpool were able to get around their man marking and with a bit more energy. And if they'd done that in the first game, this wouldn't have happened. I mean, Liverpool very rarely win in Italy, did they? I can only think. They beat Rome, didn't they? They beat Atalanta behind closed doors, 5-0. Is there any others?
Something we've learned this
week. Oh, Milan 2-1 as well. Inter Milan as well. In fact, they've done it loads of times, what we're talking about.
They actually lost the Rome again, didn't they? But they went through on aggregate. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
They lost the Roma game. Was it a semi-final you're talking about?
No, the UEFA Cup in about 2001. Right, yeah.
No, the semi-final.
We lost it home to Inter Milan, though.
I think what we've learned this week is that European football is actually quite difficult. And I think I think there's almost a lazy thing in this country that we think our league's the best, and therefore, I mean, I must admit, I looked at the Champions League semi-finals and thought, oh, that's City and Arsenal through, and you know, you should never write Real Madrid off, but I thought Bayern Munich side that poor, and Liverpool on paper for this competition were such overwhelming favourites that, yeah, I'll be honest, in my head, I must already had them in the final. You know, I just thought, and especially Liverpool in Europe usually deal with these teams quite well, but.
But were you expecting them to go for the title this season? No.
No, maybe not.
And I think
not.
that's what's contributed to it, because there's no way, if they weren't going for the title, they'd have played the team that they played in the first game.
Yeah, but I think because in Europe you're playing unfamiliar teams, you can make tactical mistakes and they can take a game away from you. And like you say, in the first leg, that's kind of what they did. In the second leg last night, Gorsley, they seemed to be playing a lot of long balls, trying to play man-to-man with Atalanta and try and get around their system that way. But it just felt like they just... Atalanta, once they got to grips with it, didn't let go, really.
Yeah, it seemed like a deliberate tactic, didn't it, to avoid midfield and go long, particularly with Alexander-Arnold and his passing range. And, you know, there was a couple of times in the first half and it looked like it was working to an extent. There was one where Alexander-Arnold just ran onto it and turned defence into attack straight away. I think it might have been the incident where he got booked for the handball.
The handball, yeah. Could he have been sent off? We didn't make a big deal of it at the time. But
it's one of them where...
He knew exactly what he was doing.
I mean, Diaz is through. It's Diaz. Diaz is through on goal, isn't he? It feels a bit silly to get hung up on that. But I mean,
you spend enough time berating and moaning about incidents, don't you? That wasn't the reason why
I didn't even mention it in Liverpool.
But Liverpool were trying to get it forward quickly and... It was a bright start. It was decent getting the goal inside the opening, was it 7 minutes, and then you're thinking that this could actually happen here if they carry on like this. But I think these just ran out of steam. I think it's just been a similar story. And the worry for me for Liverpool is when they get into a little bit of a rut that they're in now, they're very rarely, like the bad performances and the defeats are very rarely just one offs or you know, a couple of it tends to be a prolonged period before they finally get out of it. And you know, 12 months ago they probably only managed to get out of it because they were caught in an international break at just the right time, come back and obviously got battered by Man City, but then managed to find the way back with a draw at Chelsea and then a draw at Arsenal, and then I think they pretty much won every other game, didn't they, until the last day of the season, was it?
Is that not the same for every team though? Because if Arsenal don't win the league this year, they'll have won nothing this season, and that'll come down to the 3 weeks where they lost to Fulham and they lost to West Ham and they lost to Liverpool in the FA Cup. They had they won 1-7 or something.
Yeah, but it just seems to be a trend with Liverpool when they have a poor result under Jurgen Klopp. It's very rarely just a one-off and you can shrug it off. And then the next game, they're kind of back to the way they were. It seems as though they are in the eye of the storm at the moment. And can you see them getting out of it? I mean, obviously they did win last night, but going to Fulham on Sunday is going to be difficult. The two games they've had against them already this season have been real struggles. Obviously drew in the semi-final of the Cup and a 4-3 win at Anfield in the league. And I'm just concerned that there's no sort of switch that they can flick and just snap themselves out of it. I think it's going to require quite a lot from the manager and the players, and I'm wondering, has he got the time to do it now between games? Has he got the energy to do it? It's all just kind of snowballing at the wrong time.
My big concern now is I feel like they've let two Man United games get massively in their heads.
Yeah, and whose fault's that?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, I think I go back to, not you personally. My problem with that is, it was only the other week where after those games, everybody was here. It was like, you know, like all. And I was like, no, what beat? You know, look, a draw at United, still a good result. And, you know, if it hadn't gone to extra time, they would have beaten United. They had all the chances. But let's focus on the positives. But I just think the whole thing around it is, you know, I think that has affected. And I personally am not taking any blame for that.
Well, didn't blame you. I feel like it's got in the players' head. You look at those two games. Yeah, the FA Cup game. They came away from that thinking, how have we managed to lose that game? But it can happen. And they went into a league game, which, yeah, you know, you go away to Old Trafford, it doesn't matter how bad. And I said before that game, when the shoe is on the other foot, we've seen Liverpool in a bad way so many times. United leading the league, come to Anfield, Liverpool turn them over.
Yeah,
they exactly. must come away thinking, how the hell have we lost to this team? And Liverpool went to Old Trafford. They dominated them for a bit. Then they drew the game. It wasn't the worst result. It kept them where were they?
If they'd have beaten Crystal Palace, they'd have been top.
And it's almost like they also scored two goals in that game.
Yeah.
But then it's almost like they played against Crystal Palace and Atalanta in the first leg. And even last night, I thought, like, they haven't scored a goal in 20 games. Players are snatching at chances, not looking confident.
I was looking into the amount of shots they've had since the international break, since football came back, the Brighton game. They had 108 shots in four games that worked out to, you know, 17 shots a game or something like that. They only had 10 last night. And, OK, they were away from home against an Italian side with the stereotype of being good defensively, but just felt like the belief wasn't there yesterday and the patterns of play and, you know, Klopp kind of challenged them to go out in a beautiful way, didn't he? But it was just a bit of a weird, like, subdued way to go out.
Yeah, it was subdued.
There was no real fight, final 20 minutes.
Because they know they've lost. It's as simple as that. And they're also now thinking, well, I'm not going to absolutely kill myself here because we've got a big game coming up on Sunday.
They didn't even see Jota when he come on.
My slight concern there, though, you say they know they've lost. The one thing, the one hallmark of all Klopp teams is I don't feel like there's many times in the last 9 years that you can actually level that at this Liverpool team that they know they've lost. And I think the one great thing he did, you know, go back, we were talking about in the car on the way here this morning, with that Crystal Palace game when they lost 2-1 at Anfield, and he kind of had a go at the fans, and he said, like, we've got to realise that we decide it's over, 2-1 down with 10 minutes to go. We can still win this game, never mind draw it. And last night was a bit disappointed that it just felt like you say, that like 20 minutes to go, they were like, yeah, we've lost this.
What I think is quite interesting though is the view from people here compared to the view we were there, because the away end, they were like all the way through the game, they were making a load of noise. And when it got towards the end, they were singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," and the players made note of that because they came over and, you know, thanked them and all this, that, and the other. Like,
as if 60 of them. In the...
It was about, what was it, about 750? Yeah, it was a bit rickety that bit. They hadn't finished the stadium, had they? So, odd stadium, really odd. But anyway, my point being is that I think if you were there in the first half and you saw the performance from that, you're thinking, well, this is not exactly the performance of a team that's absolutely desperately bad and the way things are going. Because you say they get a penalty, which is a penalty. Salah should score. It's 2-0. He should score. It's simple as that. And that goes back to missing chances. But when you get to a game like this, you're not going to get loads of them. And normally he'd score that. He has missed stuff like that before. Normally he'd score it. And then it was like Salah nearly put Diaz in.
Yeah.
Salah nearly put Szoboszlai in. You know, there was one or two other bits and bobs that were nearly stuff. So it's not as if they're a million miles away.
So, sorry, my concerns aren't really like criticism. And I wanted to come on to that really with both of you over the last 9 days. Because I've not been working, you sort of like, you watch from afar really more. But there seems to be a lot of hot takes, you know, all this like season's over and all this sort of nonsense that you know, I kind of think if you get to the last stage of these competitions or you fight for the title, yeah, you can miss out. You can get knocked out in the semis or the quarters. You can miss out by a point. But you see a lot of these hot takes and a lot of anger. And mine wasn't criticism really of the players so much. Just a...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Just a thing that they need to sort of remind themselves how good they are.
Better Liverpool teams than this one have lost in, but against worse teams than Atalanta in Europe.
Absolutely, and I agree. I just think it's kind of a shame that they look like they're doubting themselves because they've been so good this season. And it's been a great season. I've said that to you before.
Yeah, it has. I mean, look, no one expected them to be where they are now. You know, six games to go, 2 points off the top, and with a real shout of going top this weekend. You know, I think that's a tricky one for Arsenal at Wolves, and if Liverpool, if they do stumble, Liverpool beat Fulham, which is probably quite a medium-sized if at the moment. But if they do that, then the pressure's heaved a little bit back onto Man City, who obviously don't play in the Premier League this weekend. So it's not this kind of doom and gloom foreboding thing that I'm seeing at the moment. Some of the stuff you're seeing at the moment reminds me of the darkest points of last season when Liverpool were getting beat by Brighton and Wolves seemingly every other week in January. And
my only thought from reading social media, but
do you think part of the reason is because there's the uncertainty of they don't know what's going to happen after the next month, because they go, oh, we need to just win this down because Klopp's going,
undoubtedly taking on, you know, it's just the subplot has become like the main story now, hasn't it?
And the weird thing is, for a lot of fans, not a lot of fans, but for a certain generation of fans, they'll only know. It's like when Ferguson left United or Wenger left Arsenal, they don't know anything different. Yeah. So they're like,
they'll be grown adults now who were, you know, 9 years old
when
Klopp joined or whatever.
We're working with some of them.
Yeah. I mean, but I also think Liverpool and Arsenal are both suffering from the, it's really hard to win a league. And if you get this close, the idea of losing it in the last few weeks of the season really hurts. Whereas if you're Man City and you've won 5 of the last 6, you go, oh, well, we'll win it next season. And I think that's really difficult.
Well, I'd be interested in looking up, actually. 6 games to go, City are 2 clear. 2022, when Liverpool finished with 92 points and a point off City on the final day, what was the gap with 6 games to go? Because it's... seems to remember Liverpool made up quite a bit of ground there.
They were 8 points
onwards
behind, and then they got it to 1, didn't they? And then it stayed as that all the way through.
They might even be in a better, technically, in a better position now than they were 2 years ago.
That's how they need to approach this now. 6 games to go. 6 games?
Mm.
Yeah. They need to approach this with, we've got ourselves into this position, not that we've slipped from it.
We're 2 points behind.
If they haven't got the energy, then that's a problem. Yes. And if they haven't got the players who are fit and come back in time, then that's the problem. And I think that's the real thing that's happening now.
Are we seeing the injuries?
Yeah,
this
finally
is the true
up.
Impact
yeah,
of yeah, the
yeah,
injuries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to happen at some point. Yeah. It just happened later than anyone thought. This had happened
Delayed
2 months
hangover,
ago.
Wasn't it?
This had happened 2 months ago. No one would be like, going, oh, because they go, well, what did you expect? You know what I mean? Yeah. So they've done really well to get this far. And also, I think Manchester City have corrupted everybody. I've said this before.
I've literally got this written down.
Man City have corrupted everybody, because when teams get this close, they go, well, yeah, we want to win the league. But then the next season you think, well, we can have a go next season. But now you're thinking, Man City have got that much unique advantages, I always write, with everything that's going in the, you know, that they've got going for them, is that if you get this close at this stage of the season, you think, oh, we might not even be able to do this time next season. Even no matter what size of club you are, that's the problem that with, and Liverpool have done that. They did it. They managed to back up 2019 by actually winning it in 2020, but that they weren't really competing with Man City because they just won literally every game. Mm. So there wasn't really competition. But whenever they've gone head to head with Manchester City, they've lost. Mm. 2014, 2019, 2022. Not probably this season, but it's looking like it's going to be this season if you think City are going to have to drop points. And I do think, I've always said that Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, to a lesser extent Bayern Munich, and I'd also say Real Madrid now, if their managers don't win the league and don't win the Champions League, they should be sacked every year.
Well, that wasn't the exact point that I was going to make. It's a similar one, but I think City have corrupted it in a different sense.
115 charges, is that what you're saying?
In a sense that, like...
Yeah, you've got to be careful using that word with Man City.
Yeah, sorry,
or corruption at Manchester City. Mm. Did you mean we shouldn't really use...
perceptions.
You shouldn't really...
perceptions is a better word.
Or corrupt perceptions,
yeah. I don't want to be...
corruption.
I don't want to be sued. You can sue Ian Doyle, but not me.
I'm talking about people's minds. I think it's fair. I've just explained it.
Well, I think you look at the league now, and, you know, people have this, like, thing where... 10 years ago, you could lose 5 games and win the league. Now, if you draw a game, people act like the United result. People are acting like they'd lost.
But that's what it was like 5 years ago, like, as well. That's been going on for 5 years.
But since City have raised the bar, and you know, this is, there's a lot of different... you have to give them credit for this as well. But they've raised the bar to such an extent in terms of how you win the league that, yeah, you know, you have a wobble. And Liverpool have had an extraordinary season, but people will make out like, oh, like last season with Arsenal, it's like, you've bottled it. They haven't bottled it. They had a really good go at the league title and missed out because they played against the Man City team that are extraordinary.
They did bottle a little bit, though.
I don't necessarily think they did. I think that with Liverpool this season, it's like, there's always...
I think if Arsenal don't...
Someone always has to miss out, don't they?
If Arsenal don't finish the season stronger this year, they've definitely bottled it this time.
Liverpool have only lost 3 games.
Disagree.
I'll tell you why, though. Not to do with what happened with the Champions League the other night, but they haven't had many injuries and they've had the experience of last year.
I still think they're coming up against the City. It's like,
if they win all six of their games and don't win the league, they haven't bottled it. But I'm talking about if they end up winning three, losing two and drawing one.
Maybe.
Then that's what I'm not about, just losing the league. It's the manner in which you lose it. And I think Arsenal lacked experience last year, despite, again, not having that many injuries, really.
Look, I still think that you should be able to lose 3-4 games a season and still think that it's been an extraordinary season. You're in with a shout to win the league title. Yeah. And I feel like for Liverpool and Arsenal, who are slightly more human than the Man City, if they lose a game, the world falls apart and everyone says they bottled it. Or they,
you look at the points tallies since, what was it, 2017? City got 100, didn't he? And then Liverpool got 99. City won it with 98. Liverpool got 97.
Yeah.
92, 93. And these are all just in the last few years. So that is why people are made to feel like that now whenever there's a draw. Like I say, Liverpool have only lost three. One of them was a total farce at Tottenham. The other one was Arsenal away. And then the other one was an off day. And that off day has made everyone feel like the world's caved in.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple of tweets the last couple of weeks. One absurd, one that I really liked. The one I really liked this morning... I saw someone saying, like, do you consider Mikel Arteta's time at Arsenal a success or a failure now that they've gone out of the Champions League? I was thinking, first of all, they're 2 points off the top, so they could still win the league. But second of all, like, this is from this Becky Taylor Gill. I hate this forever breaking down managers' tenures to success failure based on trophies. I don't like Arteta, but you can't deny he's injected excitement and passion back into Arsenal. You're not always going to win the trophies. People love football because how it makes them feel. And I feel like that about Liverpool and Klopp. It's like, yeah, they've... During Klopp's 9 years here, there's been absolute heartbreak. They've lost two Champions League finals. They've missed out on league titles on the final day by a point twice. You know, there has been some awful near misses that made you feel really down. But there's been some glorious moments. But how much fun have Liverpool fans had? And my frustration with this season is like, yeah, the world's caved in 9 days when it's been an extraordinary season. And don't forget that, you know... We can still enjoy six more games of chasing a league title.
Yeah, I was having a conversation similar to this with a mate of mine last week, and he's an Everton fan, and he was saying, you know, for all the stick to Liverpool fans give Duncan Ferguson, he say, well, he only scored X amount of goals, and he wasn't Robbie Fowler or whatever. Yeah. It was because he made us feel, and I was saying, yeah, I get that. You know, Liverpool lost the Champions League final to Real Madrid in Kiev, but that didn't mean... That win over Man City in the quarterfinals was celebrated any less on the night when it happened. It's just, but I think that's the way social media's become in terms of boiling everything down to the end product, and it's sometimes just people who aren't as attached to said clubs who they follow in the way that others are.
The absurd one I saw was one which, like I said, like, let's break down Klopp's time at Liverpool. As many Premier League trophies as Claudio Ranieri, as many Champions League trophies as Di Matteo, and there was other things like that. I was thinking, oh, that's just crazy.
It's
ridiculous.
Just not how it works.
And if well, why didn't all those managers stay at those clubs for the time the club's there? That's the thing. And you mentioned then about, you know, where's the fun kind of thing. Well, I think when I come back to this season, I'm not going to remember the last 9 days. I'll remember winning the League Cup against Chelsea with some embryos on the pitch by the end. You know what I mean? And I think that also goes back to what we said before about... Some of the players weren't even born when that game started. Basically, not knowing what's coming. Mentioned it before. And I think they just went, well, we need to enjoy this now. We need every moment possible. And going back to what we were saying before about Arsenal and Man City. Now... Everyone's saying, oh, they just need to win the last six games and they'll probably win the league. Have a look at how many times any team in the Premier League wins their last six games. For example, last season, Man City didn't win the last six games. You might say, they didn't have to because Arsenal hadn't won theirs. Well, there you go. So Arsenal didn't. And 2022, you mentioned that season when Liverpool and City were going for the title. Liverpool drew with Tottenham towards the end and Man City then drew with West Ham, which is why Liverpool got back to a point behind them. 2020, Liverpool didn't have to win. 2021, City certainly didn't win their last six games.
Yeah.
In fact, you're probably almost more likely to have teams winning the last six games, or maybe last four, if they're trying to stay up.
Claiming 18 points from 18 is a big ask, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Because you've got players tired at this stage of the season, players injured. I'm talking all of the teams. You know, some of them will take their eye off the ball if they're not playing for very much. So really, they're the ones that are playing for things. Then you've got the pressure on top of that, whether it's to stay up or to get into Europe or whatever have you. So it's like the most pressurised point of the season when everybody is absolutely knackered or carrying injuries or mentally fatigued. That's why teams hardly ever win six in the last six games.
Yeah.
I think Klopp's done it 2019, didn't
he? Probably where you need a decent little cup draw, like with respect to getting Villarreal in the Champions League a couple of years ago, and with respect again, Atalanta in the Europa League probably should have been that, with Real Madrid and Man City playing Real Madrid and Arsenal playing Bayern Munich. That could have been a decent opportunity for Liverpool. Well, it still could, really, in terms of the league.
I wanted to ask you both. I was chatting to a few people after the Champions League results on Wednesday night, and they were saying, that's a poor result for you for the league. I said, I don't necessarily buy into that. I'm a big believer in, like, to me, the Atalanta game for Liverpool bled directly into the Crystal Palace game. You lose that game, and in their heads, they were like, God, you know, this season is unravelling. Bang, you lose another game.
Say Liverpool played Real Madrid in the quarterfinals of the Champions League and got beat the way that City got beat. You'll be going to the next one. So, good for the league, you know.
So I think
Chelsea at Wembley now for them, isn't it?
Put yourselves in Arsenal shoes now. They are thinking, you know, like, we're going to end up with no silverware again.
Saturday night, tough place to go.
So I think that those two defeats could play into Liverpool's hands a bit, because, it could get into their heads. If you're Man City, you do think, are we totally unbeatable?
Certainly the way they lost. Yeah. You know, they put so much effort into both of those games.
Yeah.
Went to penalties, played 120 minutes, went to penalties, got beat on penalties at home. That's probably the worst way to go out, isn't it, really?
Saw a great tweet after that game of, like, I'd like side by side, I'd like tactics. I can't remember, have you seen it? Tactics. And it's like Pep, like, on sort of like a whiteboard with all his players. There's no point in me doing all this because no one can see it. he's there moving around all these little icons on a whiteboard, and there's just like being best mates, and then there's like Ancelotti just dancing with his players. It was just, I know that that's not very good in an audio podcast, but if you can find that tweet, it really made me laugh. But it's been a difficult 9 days or so for Liverpool, but I feel like there's such a big prize still to play for. I was going to ask you both, so last night, one quiet positive, like you said earlier, Doyle, Trent's return, he played pretty well in the first half, seems to enjoy himself again. And I know they've still kind of been doing it, but they've not fully committed to that player
It's funny you should say that, because I've been thinking that for a while now, that they've not really done it properly. And if they have been doing it, it tends to be Gomez from left back. Yeah. Because Bradley's not done that much. No. He did it a little bit, but he's been more told, get out wide, get down there, and then get into the box.
So do you think it could give Liverpool, obviously reignited their season last year, in very different circumstances, but do you think it could give Liverpool something different going into Sunday's game, where they've had a few poor games, to sort of get on board?
Well, then what they'd have to do is score the chances in the first half or the first hour when he's going to be playing, because he'll get subbed again after about 70 minutes because they're playing those three games in such a short amount of time. So then it's on the forwards, or whoever it is that ends up in the positions to finish these openings that Trent's going to create, because he will do, then that's it. So he'll do his bit. It's up to the others to do theirs. And that brings us right full circle back to what we started this podcast with.
I think it was good for the back five, you know, the first choice back five, in inverted commas, to start. Mentioned in my analysis, it was only the third time this season they've been able to do that, in the first since August. So
first two games of the season, wasn't it?
So they kept a clean sheet. And now it's just about continuity of it, you know. In terms of attacking players, often that's more, you know, off the cuff, isn't it, and individual moments of brilliance that win games, but it's a systemic thing, defending, so having your best five in those slots consistently for the next six games will enable Liverpool to maybe get back on a bit of a stable footing, and they won't necessarily need to be shooting 17 times a game to score a penalty.
Funny enough, you do drag yourself back into form, don't you, sometimes by, you know, like you mentioned earlier, last season, they dragged themselves back into form after a 0-0 draw at Chelsea, which was an awful game to watch. But it was Liverpool almost starting again and
battening
saying,
the like, hatches down.
Well, that's what Klopp said after the game. Yeah. He said, this game's gone against the team that I've forgotten already. Atalanta, yeah. Atalanta, I was there, wasn't I? Yeah. He said, we regard this as the start of the rest of the season. He said that that's how we went into the game beforehand. So if you look at it from that point of view, 1-0 away win.
Yeah, I suppose that's
a decent way of looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all. But I think
that's made you both positive. Yeah, there you go.
I think we're getting towards picking our teams and making our predictions for Fulham, which, like you said earlier, I think all of Liverpool's remaining games are very, very tricky, but this sort of starts a very, very
well.
Tricky
they drew there at Fulham last season in the League Cup. They drew last season at the start of the season, which is where everyone went. Oh, this doesn't look so good.
Yeah.
They weren't up the previous season. The previous season before that, they drew their 1-1 when it was one of the very few games that there were fans allowed in. It's very rainy that day, and I can't remember what they did. I think this didn't they score a really late goal to win 2-1 in the 2019 season?
Milner penalty.
Yeah, well, for a mistake. So every time they go there, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really think how Fulham have been getting on. Off the top of my head,
they just won at West Ham 2-0, didn't they?
Yeah, they're quite inconsistent. They've had a couple of good results. They're very good.
They beat Arsenal. They smashed Tottenham. That's a good point. I liked Munoz up front for them. He seems to be in a rich vein of form at the moment. It'll be tough. It always is now. You know, I think I've said this a few times, but you look at the Premier League table now, and out of your 38 games, you can probably pick less than 10 where you think, oh, that'll be fairly straightforward, that game. It's just always tough.
You could probably get down to like 6.
Yeah.
Especially when you take into account derbies, and, you know, this week you've got a derby, which, if Everton were any other team, you'd expect to go there and win.
And even then, it comes down to actual fixtures, where you go, Man City will always be Aston Villa at home, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Man United will almost always be Everton at home.
Yeah.
Last, that is. Those are two of the most one-sided fixtures in Premier League history.
Yeah,
so it's going to be another tough one. But like you say, hopefully, you know, we've kind of injected a little bit of positivity into my own sales here. Hopefully it is the start of, like Klopp said yesterday, the start of a batten down hatches. We've got a clean sheet. We've won away from home. Okay, they didn't get the 3-goal turnaround. They needed just a force extra time. But it's a step in the right direction in terms of results. And, they could be top. Could be top Sunday, couldn't they? Or could at least be second, depending on how Arsenal get on. So, it's not... We're not massively all doom and gloom, are we?
No.
Well, I hope not anyway.
Well, I've got to ask for your prediction in a minute, so we'll see. Let's pick teams then. Do you keep that? Start with you, Doddy.
I'm still worried. I don't know what's going wrong with it. I thought he was betting the second half.
Do you not think he can play himself into form now?
Yeah, potentially.
He only got 6 games left. He needs to hurry up. You know what I mean? It's like, I know what you're saying, and I think that's probably why he's been playing as much as he has, because I can't remember the last time he had a good game. And I think Quantum, apart from that one mistake against Man United, I think he's been really good. Now, Canati is not going to play all three of these games coming up. Who would you play against Everton? You're probably going to play Canati, so I think Quantum will play against Fulham on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I like the back five playing together for the first time. And you want to build on that, but it's all within context of, there's three very tough games.
And Alisson, Trent, Robertson, and I'll keep the rest of them in.
And I think
Robertson played centre forward for the first half. It was incredible.
Yeah, Quanta for me, for Canate.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the four who played last night. I just think it's just a good chance to get a bit of continuity into the defence, because they've been chopping and changing all season, hasn't he? And that's just Joe Gomez. He's played right, left, centre, and almost gone into midfield at times, hasn't he? So having Alisson back in is huge positive. Hopefully he doesn't have to ball at his feet as much as he did last night.
He made the most passes, didn't he?
I thought the record in a European competition
for any goalkeeper. He had the most in that game as well.
Yeah.
I thought. I mean, that bit where in the first half where he had the ball like in the centre circle and he was like spraying the passes round. Klopp was like, "What are you doing? Get fucking goal."
So I'm sticking with that back five anyway.
All right.
Just haven't thought about it. No, I'm playing Trent still. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you kind of want to build on the momentum, don't you? He came off early, and I think you're right, he'll come off. I would expect him to come off two-thirds of the way through. Go on, Gorsi, you can stick with you. What's your midfield then for that?
Yeah, I'd bring back in Endo. I think it's probably going to need him to fight a few fires at times. McAllister's the interesting one, isn't he? Because he's probably been well, he has been Liverpool's best midfielder, but he also looks like he's out on his feet. Huge question marks for me over Szoboszlai at the moment. It looks a shadow of the player who was superb, didn't he, when he first started his Liverpool career. Do you know what? He's probably going to be in for an afternoon of booing from the home fans, but I play Harvey Elliott.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play McAllister with Endo.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to play Harvest as well.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same midfield. And also, going back to Quonsa, Quonsa did well in the League Cup semi-final. That's another reason to play him. And I thought Elliott did well in that game.
So your midfield's the same as Gorsi's. Yeah. I think my worry is they do need to rest McAllister at some point. And again, with three games coming up, I don't know when. It's not ideal. It would be Sunday, but then...
The problem you've got is that you play Curtis, and he was a bit hit and miss because he's been coming back from injury himself. So that's an issue in itself. And then the other person you can play on the left is Gravenberch, who's kind of hardly been seen since he came back from injury. So I think they'll get game time, but... If you're not playing McAllister in this one,
I would be Endo, Elliott. I think I'd play Szoboszlai.
You can't do that because Elliott cannot play on the left and Szoboszlai prefers it on the right. They tried that at Brighton. Yeah, That's the only time I think they tried it at Brighton and Elliott got subbed at half time because he had a poor game. Probably the worst game he played all season.
Not sure I like Elliott and Jones in the same midfield. It is tough, isn't it? But I think they need to find a system to give McAllister a rest in this one, at least. Or at least maybe plan to have him come off at half time or just after. I mean, he does look out.
Bobby Clark?
I mean, he's looked very good, hasn't he? But it would be.
Forest, he started, didn't he? He won 1-0, which is the last time they kept a clean sheet in the league.
Yeah.
Get Clark in, clearly. He's the future.
So there's my midfield unpicked. But
What are you picking?
I don't know, because Jones, Elliott. Because Szoboszlai's just not been very good at an Endo. I just think they need to give McAllister a breather, and I don't want it to be in the derby.
Yeah,
and I think West Ham's a tough. I mean,
unless you say to just get through these three games, then we'll give you 4 days off ahead of the next game, who's against who? Tottenham.
You could say that to him, but it doesn't help his performances, does it? You know, if he's
well, in his mind, it might
maybe
mental as much as anything else at this stage of the season.
Let's get on with it, Alexis. You won World Cups.
Yeah, you know, he did that inside a month.
Yeah. Maybe they can push him through it. Maybe it's just about managing his minutes in each game.
Yes.
You know, I prefer him to play. I just think they're going to have to find breaks for him. Who's your front three, Gorsi?
Yeah, I mean, it's the big call is Jota or Nunes, isn't it? I'm not having Gakpo at the moment. I know he's done okay. But
I didn't think he was great last night. Yeah,
he was good when he was playing up front.
He's done okay in the backdrop of some really disappointing results, hasn't he? So
he's the one that put Salah in. He's the one that put Diaz in as well, I think, for that chance that got handled.
Do you know what? I'm surprised at the stick that Mo Salah's getting.
You see, me and you are slightly different. I mean, he scored the penalty.
I think he's a bit of a lightning rod for when he's not scoring twos and threes.
I think it was better in parts last night. Certainly the first half, he was doing a lot of running around, but it's just simple things like just pass the ball 5 yards. He just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You miss chances as a striker, but just do the other bits.
His hold-up play is usually something better.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's not just that game. It's been a few other games as well. But, you know, Klopp got asked afterwards about, are you concerned? Well, it's funny, isn't it? It's like, no matter what he gets asked now, the back of his mind is, I'm leaving, it's a week, in a month, so I don't really care. You can't blame him for thinking that. It's like he's not concerned about Salah.
Well, he said that about the FA Cup, didn't he?
Yes. Which, by the way, FA Cup, getting rid of FA Cup replays is a disgrace.
Let's not talk. Yeah. Well, I think we should start a petition to introduce Carabao Cup replays. That would be great.
We've said this.
More Carabao Cups.
Carabao Cup, play the semi-final on neutral venue, one game. Said this for forever.
No, I like my two-legged.
No. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Up front, go.
Salah, Chiota and Diaz.
Yeah.
Jota's got to start at some point, hasn't he?
I'm not playing Jota now. No, I'm going to go Salah, Nunes and Gakpo. Oh, I don't know, actually, because I thought the reason Gakpo went a bit poor is that Nunes came on because I'm not sure how often they play together. Gakpo and Jota play well together on that side. Salah and Nunes play well together. Yeah.
He was just throwing anything at the wall last night. Clock.
Yeah, that's what Jaden Dan's got on, by the way. Yeah, in fact, he probably should have brought him on earlier. I just think he could have been the kind of.
Like he made a friend of mine, Fingers.
Sorry,
Fingers.
He made a friend of mine,
Fingers, very happy because he texts me all the time saying, "Why didn't they give Jaden Dan's more chances?"
Hang on, we've told us why he's called Fingers, haven't you?
Yeah, he plays
piano. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, so what are you called then? Because you do typing and writing and podcasting. Are you called Mouth or something?
Mouth.
Mouth. Shut up.
Can you just pick your forward line, don't you?
Okay, Asala. Oh, do I rest Salah? No, he'll probably score against Everton. Okay, I'm going to go Salah, and I'm going to go... Diaz looks tired. He can't play. I'm still going to go... No, I'm sticking with what I said. Nunes and Gakpo. Sticking with that and telling them, sort it out between yourselves. You get paid enough money. Come on.
Nunes is frustrating, isn't he? Because I feel like he's very much confidence player. And I feel like the Man United thing, he's definitely one of the players that I'm talking about. Because he seems to be in his own head again now. And I feel like he's back to where he was last season, where he's not quite contributing as a whole. And again,
the cup game, he was good. The cup game, he set up the second half. I know you talk about that one, but I'm just saying that look at that game, he was actually good, and that was that long ago.
It's just frustrating that they seem to be in their own heads. All right,
Liverpool to win 2-1.
Yeah, I think I'd go along with that.
Sorry, yawning there.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're not interested in you enough.
No,
though,
it's not to do that. I've been thoroughly exhilarated for the last 1-0, Virgil van Dijk, corner, nodded in.
I feel like they're not going to win the next three because they're very difficult games. Mm. But I feel
like...
Well,
that was going to be a draw, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a last-minute equaliser for somebody.
I actually think they'll win the next two and draw... Or lose,
unfortunately,
at West Ham.
But West Ham would chuck the season in by now, though.
I suppose they're coming close, aren't
they? Or it could be their last big assignment, couldn't it?
Mick Antonio, I can imagine him scoring and then getting on his pod and giving it the, like, I turned Virgil van Dijk, you know, like...
I didn't realise he sounded like that.
Yeah.
He'll tell it to Callum Wilson and Troy Deeney will be involved.
Yeah, go on his pod and give him 0 stars.
Troy Deeney,
talking
about that time he played against Scotland.
We can just get Antonio onto this podcast. I think it'd be good.
Right, yeah. So we've all gone for Liverpool wins. Look, nice positive glasses of Carabao. Yeah. Always half full.
And Arsenal will draw at Wolves.
No, I think Arsenal will win about 3-0 at Wolves.
Not a decent Wolves at home.
Have they got loads of injuries, or have they started coming back?
Cunha's back, I think, yeah.
And City will beat Chelsea. No, actually, I think Chelsea will beat City in the FA Cup, and then they'll play Coventry in the final. Because United will come unstuck in the most ridiculous manner possible.
Chelsea will win against City this season.
And Chelsea are actually... I think they're going to be good next season.
I think it feels like they're starting to get it together, aren't they, a little bit, and they're finding some characters. This isn't the Chelsea podcast.
They need a bit more money, I think, investment into the squad.
There was a stat that they shared on Monday Night Football, only the top three have got more points than them since Christmas or since the new year. I couldn't believe that because it feels like they never win.
Well, they drew against Burnley.
Drew against Sheffield United.
There you go.
We've talked Chelsea out of it now.
Chelsea Blues podcast. Gorsing. Doyle, where can we find you?
Do you mean social media?
Yeah.
Oh. At.
I still want people to knock at your house.
I definitely do not want people knocking at my house. Unless they're offering me some money, in which case I will gladly receive that and then tell them to leave. At Ian Doyle Sport on Twitter, because I'm not calling it the other thing. And on the other ones, I think it's Ian_Doyle_Sport, because I signed up incorrectly and couldn't get the name changed.
Double battle name.
Theodore_Sebastian_Barnaby_Squires.
Ghosty's asleep. Ghosty, wake up.
At PT Ghost.
Yeah.
Personal trainer Ghost. Yeah.
How much do you charge for an hour?
My brother does that. Helps out. It's extortionate, basically.
So it's not a good advert for Jamie Doyle's personal training, is it? He's extortionate. Not worth the money.
Not just him, but all personal training.
Right. At JoeRimmer88 on Twitter, and drop me an email, joe.rimmer@reachplc.com.
Jeremy used to do that after every ratings. We'd say, I think we should get back to that. Yeah, you're getting all the grief instead of me.
Right. We'll be back again on Monday to hopefully discuss happier.
Liverpool being top of the league. Win.
Yeah.
Maybe Liverpool being top of the league and maybe a very thrilling final five games. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend. Ta-ra.